Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Gimel. And we got up to the two dots, top over there, fifth of the way down. And we're up to Zeh HaKlal Kol Shehu Mimin Dagan. So what did the Mishnah say? That anything, Kol Shehu Mimin Dagan, Harei Zeh Over BePesach. Now that means that the listing, let me just review with you what it is that has happened here. We started a new perek, and the new perek begins with a Mishnah that lists two different types of chametz issues that we've never thought of before. One is the question of items that are mixed with chametz, but are not in themselves essentially chametz products. Those are called ta'arovet chametz. And then we had another list of products, which are products that are very not tasty and are not considered to be things that you would normally eat. So that would include things like a mixture of flour and water paste to be used as glue. It's not inherently inedible, because if it were entirely inedible, then it's not called chametz at all. But this is called chametz, which from its inception was originally made in such a way that people are not going to eat it. It's not made for food, but that doesn't mean it's nifsal miachilas kelev, which would have completely taken away the din of chametz. That's true even of chametz gomer, which then became nifsal, became ruined. That we'll see later. It can lose its din of chametz. Don't confuse chametz nukshe with that. Okay, then those were two elements of chametz that we hadn't discussed before. We did discuss before chametz gomer, and we did discuss before the idea of se'or. And se'or is absolutely 100% the same din as chametz, even though it's sourdough and is used to make other things chametz. It's not something that you would eat directly on its own, but nonetheless, remember that the Torah has stipulated again and again that kol chametz and kol se'or gives it the same din. But here we have something which is somehow in between. It will not act as a machmit. It's not a leavening agent for other things the way that se'or is, which is the basis of its chiyuv, but it itself is also not edible, if it's chametz nuksha, or it's mixed with other things. That was the beginning of the Mishnah. And the beginning of the Mishnah, we had a big machlokas rishonim about what exactly the Mishnah means by elu overim. Does it mean that you're over on an issur d'oraisa by your rei, by your matzeh, if you keep it, the way the Rambam learns, the way Rashi learns? Does it mean elu overim that there's a drabbanan to get rid of it? And many other Rishonim learn like that, get rid of it, but there won't be an Isser by Yerah, by Yematzeh. What does Elu Ovri mean, like some other Rishonim learn, like the Ben Hanano? It means to get it off the table. It doesn't mean to, it can't be in your house at all. Okay, that was a question. Now, today we got up to the next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah mentions a golden rule. And the rule is, Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shehu Mimin Dagan, Hareze over bepesach. It's not at all clear how that relates to the opening of the Mishnah. Is this now a continuation of the same sheet of the Tanna Kamma? And it says beferish that the meaning of the hareze over bepesach includes hare elu ba'azhara, that if you would go ahead and eat it, this is something new now. We had the elu overim, but now we have this new idea. If you would eat it, you would be over on a lav, but you would not be chayav karas. So now the question is this a continuation of the aforementioned shita? And it would mean, therefore, that even though the way we understood the ingredients of what was mentioned earlier in the Mishnah is that there would be an iser lav, even if you ate chametz that did not have a kezayas bichtei achilas pras. Now, if that's true, it's a continuation of that opening shita, but we don't paskin that way. We don't paskin that you'd be chayev if you eat chametz that is mixed in proportions that doesn't actually give you a shira of achilas chametz of a kezayis within the time that it takes to define a minimum of achila, which is achilas pras. Okay, so the other approach could be that we've basically changed Mandi Amrim over here, which is the way others learn, that this Zeh HaKlal is not a continuation of the Tanna Kamma. Instead, it would be the words of Rebbe Eliezer we're going to see in the Mishnah. And that would mean that the Tanna Kamma would disagree, because since you don't have a kezayis of chometz gomer b'chdei achilas paras, you are not chayev a azhara. It's only an issur drabanan, or maybe it's an issur of chatzi shir, but it, which it could be d'oraisa, but it's certainly not a chiyuv malkus. Furthermore, they would argue even on the din of chometz nuksha. Chometz nuksha, they would say you're not chayev at all. Okay, we have not yet gotten to the fundamental machlokas here about what things you're chayev a lav on. So that's what it's time to examine today. Zakla, kol shehu mimin dagan. Okay, so we start off with the Mishnah's Zahaklal. And again, as I mentioned, we're not 100% sure who said that. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yoshua. So first of all, Rabbi Yoshua asks what appears to be a ridiculous question. Now this is really off the wall on the surface. I mean, the whole point of the Mishnah was not to introduce the fact that chometz is made from chamisha minei daga. The point was to say that if you have mixtures that are made with chamisha minei dagan, or if you have chometz nuksha that's made with chamisha minei dagan, that you are not chayev the way you would be for regular chometz, and therefore, if the Mishnah had not mentioned the first part, the whole Mishnah would have had no purpose. What kind of weird question is that? So Tosfos says, well, obviously, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't mean there's no point in mentioning the specific dinim of chometz taharovis chometz and of chometz nuksha. What he meant was, why not just bring one example of each type? Instead of bringing seven different examples, four of which turned out to be mixtures of chometz, which we called midinot, but they are something that's edible all over the place. The other being three examples of umniyot, of different craftsmanship, which has to do with painting or with shoemaking and so on, as we spoke about yesterday. Just bring one of each type. And that, again, puts us on notice that there are two other qualifications, or shall we say, two other sets of chametz. And that's it. And then we can use our own brains to figure out what else is included. So that's the lama manu chachamim etelu. What's the point of listing specifically these seven? Kidei she'ei ragil behemu bishmotehem. And it's simply because of a practicality. The Tana of the Mishnah wanted you to be aware of the actualities of these things, because people may not be if in the location that they are exposed to this kind of stuff. And if they don't know what it is, then they could easily be nichshal. So we want to make certain popular goods knowable across the globe by anybody who learns the Mishnah, so that when they're exposed to them, they'll be aware of what we're talking about. Not just the fact that these things are chametz, but that they will get a knowledge of the way these things are made, which could be nogea other halakhas as well, such as ki adehu bar ma'arava. There was a guy who came from Eretz Yisrael, and he was visiting Bavel, and he had some meat, he had some salami sandwiches along with him, but he hadn't taken along anything to dip the sandwiches in. So he comes to this food service place, and he says to them, could you please bring me a dip? So he hears somebody shouting in the kitchen, one portion of kutach. And he says, wait a minute, kutach? Oh my God, that is milchiks. Now, how did he know that kutach was milchiks? He never had kutach in his life, right? Aha, because he'd been exposed to this Mishnah. So he knew the way that you make kutach as taroves chometz. Yes, that is made with spoiled bread and flour and water and whey. Oh, so he realized, that's not what I want. So given the shema kutach pirish, he didn't eat what they served. Anyway, so all of these things are usher because of an azhara, but there's no chiyuv karsa. Where would we get that idea from? I mean, either it's included in the isser of eating chametz, or it's not included in the isser of eating chametz. You can't just say there's sort of a lesser chametz, which is not mechayev yukaris. Where would you get that from? So mantana, who indeed would be a tana that would hold that there is a mekor in the Torah for two new ideas, chometz nukshe and chometz al yedei ta'arovet, where you apparently have not had a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, which would be mechayiv simply because you ate chametz, possibly. Now, gentlemen, it's important for us to understand the special situation that we're up against when it comes to chametz. You will notice that when it comes to all the other Yisurim in the Torah, the question of whether you needed a catalyst to create something, or the question of whether tarovas is usur, or the question of whether a lack of palatability as opposed to edibility is usur, is never raised, because there are no such concepts elsewhere. What gives us the right, bichlal, to utilize these kind of concepts when it comes to chametz? I mean, what is that supposed to mean, that we needed a pasuk to tell me that it became chametz through the use of a catalyst? I mean, like, where'd you get that idea, that that makes a difference? So basically, we need to understand that the entire idea of chametz being usur, the way that it's usur, and that the Torah has created this time warp in the year, which all of a sudden, something that is completely kosher, mitzvah to have, put it on your Shabbos table, make sure you even got two of them, not just one of them, you know, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, of course, if you eat that stuff, you can't even eat it, because don't leave it on your table, elu ovrim, and so on and so forth, get it out of the house. This is a very, very new situation. And it's obviously not something about the ingredients per se that's a problem, right? It's something about what has happened to the ingredients that's a problem. So we don't have any problem with the Chamisha Minei Dagan. On the contrary, the Chamisha Minei Dagan is a mitzvah to eat on Pesach as well, in terms of your matzah's mitzvah. So because of the fact that we're talking about a process, we're not talking about a thing, which is the relationship that we have to all other issues that the Torah defines. So therefore, we need to understand what particular elements of that process are included. And that would mean that we look at both the way that it's done, for instance, the use of the catalyst, and the product that results. Because, I mean, if the Torah wouldn't tell us that something that is not a normative usage for eating, such as chametz nuksha, is considered to be usur as well, I wouldn't know. And if I wouldn't have a pasuk that would tell me the dinim that over here tarovas, normally we would look to tarovas as part of halacha kol haTorah kula. Over here, we are considering the specific issues of chimutz. And therefore, we're trying to find a man diomar who would hold that there is an iser d'oraisa without a chiyav of karis that would apply to both of these new sets, chometz nukshe and chometz ayidei tarove. Who exactly says that? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, I suggest, says Rav, it's Rebbe Meir. Where does Rebbe Meir hold this? Now here we need to discover that there is yet another set of chametz that is neither chametz, nor is it so'or, nor is it chametz ayedei tarovet, but it is chametz in process of becoming chametz, and it has not as yet arrived. That is called si'or, not to be confused with se'or. So si'or is something in the process of being leavened. Has nothing to do with the word, well, I mean, I shouldn't say it has nothing to do with the word, but it has nothing to do with the quality called sa'or. It certainly cannot leaven other things, and it itself is not as yet fully leavened either. Now, the thing is about this si'or that, again, it's not anything that you would eat because it's not fully done. So it just tastes weird. So we're making the assumption that this si'or would be basically the equivalent of chometz nukshe. So making that assumption, let us see the implications of the following braita. First of all, you need to know the fact of a machloket that's not mentioned here in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, but that the Gemara is taking for granted. And that is a famous machloket between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda about what siur is, first of all. So there are two stages that we're going to look into later that have to do with the process of becoming chometz. At one point, the dough turns whitish and pale. That's called hichsifu panav. That's the first stage in which we can discern the process of leavening going on inside of the dough, it changes its coloration and this sense of its, what shall I say, its presence. It looks pale. It looks like there's this layer on top that is somehow or other not part of just the mixture of the original dough the way you had it. So that's the stage that's called Hichsifu Panav. According to Rebbe Meir, that is the stage of actual Isser. According to Rebbe Yehuda, that is plain, simple matzah. According to Rebbe Yehuda, something is not called siur until the dough begins to crack. And those little cracks are called kikarnei chagavim. There's these tiny little cracks in the surface of the dough that look like antennae of grasshoppers, and they mix into each other. And that, according to him, is the sign of siur. So now we have a strange brisa. Because, I mean, actually, if you think about it, according to Rebbe Yehuda, the siur of Rebbe Meir is completely kosher. And according to Rebbe Meir, the siur of Rebbe Yehuda is total chometz. So what we need to look at is this braita that says something doesn't seem to make sense, and from it we get a better understanding of the shitas. The Tanya, it says in the braita like this, that this siur has to be burned, and then it goes right on to contradict itself in saying, but you can feed it to your doggy. Now that obviously makes no sense. If it has to be burned, the words has to be burned is a code word for it's being usur bahana. That's why it's been all through the Masechet, and that's the only simple way of understanding it. So how could you give it to your doggy? And then it says, and if you eat it, then you're chayev malchus arboim, which means that you're not chayev koris, but you are chayev on a lav. So now, we're trying to show, Rav is trying to show, that Rebbe Meir is the one who holds that chometz nuksha, therefore is usur b'diraisa, because he says over here, ochlo ba'arba'im. Now, in order to prove that, he's got to make sense of the braita first, because the braita stated is completely confusing and does not stand. Because first, haguf akash. I mean, look, the braita contradicts itself. First, it says burn the siur, which means that it's completely usur ba'ana. Then it goes right, and the next word is, and you can give it to your dog. Not if they kabo, which means it's mutter ba'ana. Now, what is it trying to say? So what it must be trying to say is, hachikama, siur yisarev, that which any shita holds is siur, according to that shita, whatever the shita gives as a definition of siur, would require burning, and therefore it's usur ba'ana. Now, that would be the first stage, which according to Rebbe Meir would be just Hichsifu Panav. Yes, the Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, you got to burn it. Rebbe Yehuda Seur, even according to Rebbe Yehuda, yes, you've got to burn it. That they would both agree. They only don't agree what it's called. But there is certainly a general rule that if you do have Seur, whatever the definition of Seur is, it absolutely requires you to burn it. Now, when it says v'notno lefi kalbo, now that is clearly talking about something else. So what that's referring to is what can be done with the seur as defined by Rebbe Meir. Namely, it's turned pale. Let's change colors. According to Rebbe Yehuda, who theoretically would hold that that is matzah. So what does he hold? Can you actually eat it? And it's perfectly okay. Well, he allows you to be nena from it because he does not assert in any way. However, when he comes to actually eating it, he agrees we should assert midrabbana. So therefore, he's saying it's asr ba'achila, he's implying, but it's mutar ba'ana'a. Then when you turn around and you say, but if you eat it, you're chayev arbaim, obviously that's no longer referring to Rebbe Yehuda, because he could only be saying it's asr b'achila min rabbanan. So this would be turning around and saying, but according to Rebbe Meir, since this is complete chometz, this siur, it would be chayev actually in malchus arbaim. So in other words, what it's saying is that even though according to Rebbe Yehuda, it's mutar b'hana'a. However, according to Rebbe Meir, you would be chayev malchus arboim. That's what we would have to understand. Now, what that means is that even though Rebbe Meir certainly is not arguing about the reality that this Si'ur is still in a process of becoming Chometz, right? He's telling you that in the process, which is very untasty and which people would not be interested in eating, Rebbe Meir is saying at the end of this brisa that if you eat it, you are Chayim Malkus Harboim. Aha. So obviously there is something we don't know about because we have not yet met a pasuk that talks about eating chametz that is mechayev you in iser lav and has not been mechayev you chorus on that iser lav. So Rebbe Meir obviously knows something we don't know. And if he holds this about chametz nukshe, then it is both possible, and we'll see according to Rav, very likely, that he holds the same thing about chometz al yedei tarovet. So therefore, says Rav, I have discovered who the Tana of our Mishnah is, who says that both chometz nuksha and chometz al yedei tarovet would be a lav. Because Shamina, like this, proves clearly that according to Rebbe Meir, si'ur, which is not really, I mean, it's edible, but it's not meant to be eaten. It's not palatable. And nonetheless, he holds that it's osur with a lav. And if that is the case, so then it is a kol shekein, according to me, says Rav Yehuda Amarav. It's a kol shekein that if it's really edible chametz and it's mixed over here with something else, so then for sure you would be chayav, because that is actually palatable as well. So that would cover Rebbe Meir as the Tana of both dinim in our Mishnah. Even chometz nuksha, kol shekein chometz gomor al yedei tarovet, there is a chiyav, it's a new chiyav of a lav, which we don't know what it is, but we'll look for it, and it's not a chiyav of kares. Rav Nachman says, I disagree. It is not Rebbe Meir. And it turns out that there is a fundamental question over here between Rav and Rav Nachman about what is considered to be more of a primary chometz. Is chometz nuksha more primal as the definition of chometz because it's complete and unmixed? Or is chometz gomer, which is subsequently mixed, more a primary chometz than chometz nuksha is, which involves us in another consideration about whether the issue of edibility and palatability is part of the coming into being as chometz? So that's a very, very fundamental argument. And obviously Rav, has taken the position that if I know chometz nuksha, which is like a whole new idea of something that was not meant from the inception to be palatable, so then kol shekein, I know chometz al yedei tarovet would be also an alav. It turns out Reb Nachman holds just the opposite. If you tell me chometz nuksha, I don't know what you would say about the chometz al yedei tarovet. And because of that, he cannot hold of Rebbe Meir, as it turns out. He cannot hold that Rebbe Meir is the basis of the discussion. So therefore, Reb Nachman says, I say it's going according to Reb Eliezer, the Tanya. Al chometz dagan gamur anush karet. Here's the braita that makes it all very clear. If you eat chometz gomur, not mixed with anything, 100% edible, then you're chayef karas. If it's mixed with anything else, then it's only a lav, but not karas. So says Rebbe Eliezer. The chachomim say, al chometz dagan gomur anush karet. But in Eiruva, we don't know of any lav. Either it is chametz or it's not chametz. There's no such thing as a new lav on a chametz, which is not the primary defined chametz in the Torah. So then it turns out that there's a very fundamental machlokas over here, Bichlal, about whether we have extensions in the Torah that cover this new type of chametz. Now, it's a machlokas. Even though the Chachomim are not saying it's mutter, obviously, they're only saying you're not chayev, below klum, it's a machlokas whether that below klum is a drabbanan extension or whether that below klum is actually a diraisa, because it is nonetheless sort of a chatzi shir of the chometz, and that could be also diraita, but will nonetheless never be mechayev you for an onesh on any type of this. Okay, that remains to be seen. But in any event, we start with one fundamental machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim. And that, of course, would be the question in the Mishnah as well. As I mentioned to you earlier, the Zeh HaKlal, was that said by Rebbe Eliezer because he is the author of this new idea? And it's only Rebbe Eliezer would say this. Tanakama would certainly not say it. And he is saying, because of the fact that we have this new Isser in the Torah as yet undiscovered by us, because of that, he says, Zaklal, that you would be usher to eat it, be'azhara. Okay? Or might it be another shita, which is not the shita that we're talking about here? And now, says Rav Nachman, I'll show you that according to Rebbe Eliezer, it would make sense that the Mishnah would also list Chometz Nuksha. Because according to Rebbe Eliezer, if I now can prove that Chometz Dagon Gamur Al Yedei Ta'arovis is alav, Kol Shekein Nuksha, where the Nuksha is actually Be'enei, it's unmixed with anything else, and because of that, for sure, it would be considered to be a Chiyav. So, this is the exact opposite, correct? Rebbe Yehuda holds, once I know, as Rebbe Meir said, that Si'ur, which is Nuksha, is Chayev, even though there's no chorus, but there's an Azhara. So now I know for sure that Ta'arovis is Chayev. According to Reb Nachman, it's the other way around. Once I know, according to Rebbe Eliezer, that Ta'arovis is Osir, now I know for sure that Nuksha, which is not mixed with anything else, is definitely going to be Chayev. Great. Now, the reason Reb Nachman did not want to say, like Reb Yehuda quoting Rav, that the Mishnah is going like Rebbe Meir, is exactly that point. Because Reb Nachman will say to you, who says? Dilma ad kan lo kam Rebbe Meir osim ela nuksha be'enei. Remember, the only thing that we saw about Rebbe Meir in his discussion of Siur is that a nuksha that is not mixed with anything else has a lav. But Chometz Dagan Gomur al Yedei Ta'arovet, he didn't say that there's any lav that's associated with that. So therefore, there's no way that you could say that. Okay, Rebbe Yehuda, you may be right, but prove it. I don't see Rebbe Meir saying that anywhere, and it's certainly not the Kal V'chomer that you suggest. So I have no choice but to look elsewhere for my Tana. And that's why I say it's Rebbe Eliezer. As a matter of fact, why do you, Rebbe Yehuda Amarav, why do you not like Reb Nachman's approach? That basically the Mishnah is Rebbe Eliezer. Because Rebbe Yehuda will say to you, of course, the exact opposite argument. All you have proven to me in Reb Nachman is that Rebbe Eliezer holds that Chometz Dagon Gamur is an Isser if it's Ayyadei Ta'arovet. But he never suggested anywhere that I can see that Chometz Nuksha Be'enei is considered to be a lav, because I hold that it's much more of a chiddush to say that Nuksha is considered to be us. Now, we've got a big problem over here, and that is that the Mishnah says the opposite. The Mishnah says that Rebbe Eliezer added to the original list the additional idea of the Tachshitei Nashim, which is obviously, as we explained it before, those Tachshitei Nashim are very low-class forms of Chometz Nuksha, and he included it in the Isser. He said it's Bazara. So how in the world could we possibly say that nobody ever told me that according to Rebbe Eliezer, Chometz Nuksha is included? As a matter of fact, Rebbe Eliezer, depending on how it's understood, and many Rishonim understood it this way in the Mishnah, he is adding that the Chometz Nuksha Ayyadei Ta'aroves, which is even like a lower level, because that's the case of the Tachshitei Nashim, that even that is included in the Isser. So there's something very strange about a Gemara. I don't wave to hands without faces. There you go. You never know. How do I know it's not an alien or a monster? So I've got to know who I'm waving to. Anyway, so the idea over here would be, obviously, as Tosis points out, this Gemara is impossible unless we're getting confused in our names. So therefore, clearly, either the Gemara that lists the extension of Nuksha has the wrong girsa as we have it, and it's not Rabbi Eliezer, but it's Rabbi Elazar, or the whole discussion over here in the Machlokas, the Chachomim, and ostensibly Rabbi Eliezer, is meant to be a Machlokas, the Chachomim, and Rabbi Elazar, and the Mishnah, then we could maintain as saying Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, but we can't have both of these girsos, because then the Gemara makes no sense. What do you mean, whoever said? The Mishnah says. Okay, so now it turns out that we have a machlokas amoraim about what is considered to be more chomor, chometz nuksha or chometz gomor al yedei ta'arovet. And we also have a machlokas of tanoim, which is the machlokas the Rabbanan and Rebbe Eliezer, about whether there is an iser d'oraisa, or may I shouldn't say that, whether there's an iser lav and azara that's b'chayev on chometz that is less than the typical chometz gomer be'ine. So Tanya Kavasi de Reb Yehuda, we find actually a raya to the Reb Yehuda, and this meanwhile, that it's going according to Rabbi Meir, meanwhile, this is also going to finally teach us what the Makor is, because everybody's been assuming that there is some kind of pasuk, and we never met it. So here is the pasuk. Tanya Kavasi de Reb Yehuda. Kol machmetzet lo tochelo. So that means, besides the iser of lo tochlu chametz, lo yeachel, and so on and so forth, there's this new thing of machmetzet. Now, machmetzet, we understand, or at least we're assuming at this point, that in the same way we learned before, the concept of machmetzet, remember, included making something chametz utilizing a catalyst. And that itself would also be included in the iser. And we didn't know that before, right? Until we got to this pasuk. It says, chometz ayedei davar acher. How do we know chometz ayedei davar acher? We know that from machmetzet, which means something that had been made into chometz. How about something that is not chometz? It's delicious beer that is date beer, which is a standard beer. Now you add some ingredient to it, the additional ingredient being, we said, mesa orim. So you let this barley sit in water and you poured it into your date beer to give it an additional jolt. And that is the equivalent, the Gemara holds at this point, that is the equivalent of machmetzet. You turned something that wasn't chametz into chametz by mixing it with chametz. So it's the same idea. So we're going to be using the idea of machmetzet to include not only chimutz ayedei davar acher, but to include chimutz that is mixed ayedei davar acher. Okay, so that would include the kutach habavli, which is not fundamentally chametz because it's got all kinds of other ingredients, but it gets chametz ingredients that make it chametz. So that includes kutach habavli, shecher hamadi, chametz ha'adomi, zeitum ha'mitzri, all of these by being mixed. So this is what the Braita is saying. Now, you might think that if that's the case, if the Torah has expanded the concept of chometz to include mixtures, so then it should expand also the onesh of chometz to include mixtures. So yochol yei anush kareid, and here's exactly where we get the idea that we can separate the two types of chometz, one of which chometz gomor be'ene would be chayev kareid, and the other one is only a lav. And here's the crucial moment. So yochu yehi onush karet, Talmud lomar, therefore, the Torah says, ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrata. Now that tells me, if you eat chametz, not machmetzet, then v'nichrata. So al chametz dagan gamur, then you're chayev karas. But on this mixture that we've been talking about from machmetzet, you would be chayev only malkas, and you would not be chayev koras. So that would mean that there is no chayev because it doesn't mention koras in that pasuk. It just says, kol machmetzet lo tochel. That's a lav. It doesn't say that there is a chayev koras. Now, let me show you how this proves Rav Yehuda. Man shamet le'diomer alei ruva b'lav. Who was the author of the one that says that eating the chometz in a mixture, your chayev alotase? Well, That was Rebbe Eliezer. Notice that there's not a single word here about Chometz Nuksha, correct? Now, if this Braita is coming to tell me what you are not Chayev Kores on, note that that's a fundamental limud of the Braita. You might think something that is usher is ipso facto Chayev Kores. The Braita is coming along to teach me a new drasha. Kikol ochel chametz, only al chametz gomer. Then obviously the Braita should have listed not chametz nuksha, meaning there is no chiyuv of karet on chametz nuksha, and yet it doesn't. Why doesn't it? I shall tell you why doesn't it. Because it's Rebbe Yehuda was 100% correct. The only point is that Rebbe Eliezer holds that chometz dagon al yedei ta'arovet is chayev, but chometz nuksha isn't even included in the lav. And therefore, the Braita doesn't mention the question of whether you're Chayev Kares, you're not even Chayev Malkus. That's the point. So Shmamina Nuksha L'Rebbe Eliezer is simply not included. Therefore, Rebbe Yehuda Merav, who said, the Mishnah can't be Rebbe Eliezer, because where do you see the Rebbe Eliezer holds that Nuksha is included in the Isser? Precisely. This Braita is making exactly that assumption, which teaches us that we've got to follow Rebbe Yehuda Merav's approach, and that indeed, it is a chiyuv on both of them. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir because it's Kal v'Chomer in the other direction. Now, Rabbi Eliezer himself, how do we know that there's this Isser? As you said, this new Isser comes from the pasuk of Kol Machmetzet Lo Tochelo, right? Well, I got news for you. If he is now ready to include the word Machmetzet, because that's the way we understand it up until this point, the word machmetzet includes not only something that was chumatz al yedei davar acher, not a catalyzed chimutz, which is the equivalent of mixing and turning something into chometz because you mixed a perfectly non-chometz mixture of date beer. You mixed it with some mesa orim that made it chometz. Exactly. So it's the same thing as catalyzing chometz. That's what we thought. Now, but if that's the case, then something is very wrong, because there's also another pasuk that says that there's a chiyuv kores. Because believe it or not, it does not only say kikol ochel chametz v'nichrata, it says kikol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata. So then, if by definition this is machmetzet, so then this has got to be a new iser kores on this new lav as well. Shivat yamim so'or lo yimatzei bevatechem. So what the heck is going on? Obviously, the mocker cannot be from the word machmetzet, which is itself chayev kares. So then we're back where we started from. What is the makar of Rebbe Eliezer? Well, it's very simple. I mean, that idea of the achilas machmetzet and kares, that is needed for a completely different din. Didn't we say before, "Ein li ela shenit chametz me'elav, machmat davar acher minayin, Talmud lomar kol machmetzet v'nichrita." What? But I understand. I thought that that was the whole sense that we were learning out the mixture from the same thing. No. So I mean, if you're going to tell me that I need machmetzet. Now you're telling me, no. Those are two different issues. Machmetzet means chometz ayde davar acher. There, indeed, you are chayev kares. And the concept of machmetzet definitely does not include making something chometz by mixing chometz with it. So then the law that says not to eat machmetzet, ko machmetzet lo tochelu, does not include mixtures. You can't have it one way when it comes to kares and say that over there the machmetzet is only to teach me catalyzed chametz. And then when it comes to the lav, now you're telling me machmetzet even includes mixed chametz. Make up your mind, man. So then iachi the lav nami lachi udata. Then if machmetzet means what you're saying now, only catalyzed chametz. So now we're back where we started from. I don't see any new isser in the Torah that's talking about an isser of chametz that is mixed with other things. Yep, you're right. We have actually been misrepresenting Rebbe Eliezer Shita. I take it all back, And it really was never from the word machmetzet. It was from the word kol. The machmetzet itself, as the word implies, is catalyzed chimutz. And then when you add the word kol machmetzet, which was not necessary, so kol machmetzet expands that to include anything that was made chometz not only through catalyzation, but through mixture. So when it comes to that, it says kol machmetzet, and now we're okay. Come on, man. It says kol machmetzet in the Isser of Chorus also. You're driving me nuts. I don't care if we're learning it from the machmetzet or we're learning it from the kol. We've got two psukim. One pasuk says kol machmetzet lo tochel. The other one says kol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata. Now, either the kol machmetzet, I agree. Fine, let's put the kol together with the machmetzet. Now we know both dinim, catalyzed chametz, mixed chametz, lovely. But now let's take a look at the Yisur of Karis. You have exactly the same situation. Ki kol ochel machmetzet, right? So we've got, again, a kol that adds the idea of Karis on the machmetzet. So you're still stuck. It's the same problem. If you're going to learn that that pasuk of kol machmetzet is a reference to chometz that was mixed, then you've got to learn that the kol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata is a reference to chometz that mixed. You can't have it both ways. I can, because I need that to tell me something else. Now look carefully at the psukim. Kol machmetzet is an expansion of what? The object of what you're eating. Kol machmetzet, anything machmetzet. Kol ochel machmetzet is an expansion of who is doing the eating, not what is being eaten. That brilliant clarity is what allows Rebbe Eliezer to understand the psukim in totally different ways. If the Torah is coming to expand on the object of the chimutz, so then it's coming to expand on something that was an object of chimutz made chometz by mixing. If it's coming to expand on the nature of the one who is eating, then the focus of the Torah is on telling me a chiddush, namely that women are also chayev about eating chometz. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, obviously, women are chayev. I mean, it's a lotasa. Why wouldn't be? We'll see in a moment why. But, I mean, it's clearly suggested by the way that the word kol appears in the pasuk that we are adding something. We're not going to assume that it's some unknown gender that we're adding. So it's got to be nashim. Why is it that we think we need a raya for nashim? Which the Gemara says, nashim? I don't understand. There's a general klal in the Torah, which was said by Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And that is, Domer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And of course, that has an early mocker in the Brisa of the Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael. The pasuk says beferush ish o isha ki yasu mikol chatot adam, which means hishva hakatuv isha leish lechol onashim shebatorah. So wherever you have a lav with an onesh, a woman is by definition included. So why in the world would we need to have an extra kol ochel machmetzet to include women? Please, Rebbe Eliezer. Oh, Itzrich, this is a special case. In this case, I do need a pasuk. Why? Because Sal Kadai Techamino Hovektiv Lo Tochal Alav Chamed Shivat Yamim Tochal Alav Matzot. Here, there is another interaction in which the relationship of the non-Achilas Chometz is linked to the mitzvah of yes, Achilas Matzah, correct? Aha! So that would mean that if for some reason you are not included in that mitzvah of eating matzah, and that is a mitzvah saseh shazman gorma, is it not? So a woman would not be included in a mitzvah saseh shazman gorma. And since we have the unusual situation over here of the linkage of those two, so then I would say, koshi yeshno bekumecho matzah, yeshno bebal tochal chametz. If you are included in the chi of asay of eating the matzah, then you're included in the linked lotase of not eating chametz. Masha enkein hani nashi, because they're not included in the kumecho matzah, because that is a mitzvah zaseh shazman gorma. So then I would have thought that they're not included in the isra of achilas chometz. Therefore, the Torah added ki kol ochel makmetzet v'nichrata, even to include women. And now that we know that women are included in that isra, now we also understand that the linkage means that the women indeed are chayev in achilas matzah, because hashta disrabulu b'bal tochal chametz. Now is Rabulu Nami Lachilat Matzah. And this is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar explained, Nashim are chayavot in the mitzvah say of Achilas Matzah, Devar Torah. Shinema lo tochal alav chametz, shivas shamim tochal, so on. And that means if you're included in lo tochal alav chametz, then you are included in tochal matzot. Yeshno b'achilas matzah. And now that I've proved to you, haninashinami hove yeshno b'bal tochal chametz, I've been able to prove to you from the extra kikol ochel machmetzet, yeshnan b'kum echol matzah. Lovely. Now, I'm just not sure, because the Gemara hasn't really noted yet the striking difference in the psukim in terms of the reference either to the object or to the subject. So the Gemara asks, wait a second over here. It seems to be highly selective to utilize kol in one case to talk about women as opposed to talk about the mixture. And in the other case, you use it to talk about the mixture and not including the women. Well, I don't understand why. Umay chazita, the high kol, the rabuya noshim, umafakta eruva, you've excluded the chometz mixture, tarovitz chometz, you've excluded from the chiyav of the nichrata, right? Because you said that's included in kol ochel chametz. And this is not chametz. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe the kol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata is there to include mixtures. Eima l'ribuye eruva. Come on, says the Gemara. I mean, isn't it just logical? If we're talking about ochlim, mistavet, if we're talking about the people who are eating, then we're going to add a broader definition of the eating people who are included, which means we'll include the women. But in the other case, where we're talking about the Oakland, but if in this case, if we're talking about the Oakland, should we do what we did in the other case to be marba the ne'echolim, the things that are being eaten? In the other case, we were talking about the things that are being eaten. So over there, when it says kol, it's marba things that are being eaten, meaning chometz, that is chometz, al yedei tarovis. Now, Rav Nosson Avuah d'Ravuna has a hadkafa on this, and he attacks this logic, and he says like this: I can show you locations where that line does not apply, okay? You are claiming that just because something is referring to the eaters, it does not include the eaten. But that's not true. Take a look at this bright over here that has to do with the Isser of Achilas Chelev. Now, the primary issue of Achilas Chelev, as you know, is the fact that the Torah says the Chelev is to be brought on the Mizbeach. And if you take for yourself and eat the Chelev, which was meant for the Mizbeach, because look at the Lashon HaPasuk, Ki kol ochel Chelev mina beima asher yakriv mimena korban. So if the chalev is a korban, or roi at least for a korban, then I understand that the Torah was machayev mi karet for eating it, v'nichrata. So that would mean on the surface that only a korban that is roi to be brought on the mizbeach, which would mean that it can't have a mum. So ainli ela chalev timimim shiroi li karev. How would you know that you can include even the chalev of balei mumim, where you can't bring it on the mizbeach? Talmud lomar, min habeima. Why would it have to say min habeima? Asher yikarev, you just say me'asher yikarev, right? So therefore, min habeima says, as long as it's a type of animal that theoretically, under other circumstances, if it didn't have a mum, would have been roi for the mizbeah. Okay, but certainly it needs to be at least theoretical. I mean, what about if it's just a plain old-fashioned chulin animal and it wasn't even hegdesh? Maybe over there there's no Isser v'achilas chelev at all. Talmud lomar ki kol ochel chelev. Ha! Now, what is that referring to? The people that are eating. Chalev, the guy who's doing the eating. And now we're using a riboy of kol on the people doing the eating to tell me what is included in that which is being eaten. And you said we can't do that. You said we have to make it consistent with the context of the pasuk. If the pasuk is adding the people eating, then you have to expand that. If the pasuk is adding to the definition of the food being eaten, then you expand that. And here we see that that logic does not apply. Because here it's talking about the people that are eating, and you're being marred by the things which are being eaten. Says the Gemara, I never said that it's an absolute. I only said that it's a preference, that if you've got a choice, as we do in this case, we could say the kikolo chel machmetzet is referring to a broader definition of the machmetzet, meaning it includes even mixtures, or we could say it includes a broader definition of the ochel, right? So I said, if you've got a choice of one or the other, so then it makes sense to take the context as the definer of which one you're going to apply the riboy to. So we're going to add, it makes sense to add to the eaters if we're talking about the eaters. I never said that the Torah would absolutely not use a pasuk that was talking about the people eating in order to expand the concept of what it is that they're eating. I never said that. So therefore, hatam, in that case of the chalev, do you have an option? Tell me, what would you like to add to the Yisr of Achilas Chalev? Maybe people from Mars? I mean, what are you going to add? This is a typical Isser in the Torah. It's an Isser Lav. It includes males, females. So there's nothing to add, right? So there are no additional Ochlim. So, okay, so what am I going to say? Okay, the Torah just threw in the word Kikol. Nonsense. So therefore, I will use it to be Marba Ne'echalim. So it's going to tell me more about the Chalev. But over here, where I do have options, and I've got a choice of either expanding the definition of the eaters or expanding the definition of the eaten, I am going to go by contextual definitions. And contextually, we're talking about the people eating. So halacha de'ika ochlin, we do have an additional set of ochlin, because otherwise we wouldn't have known nashim. So lo shavik lo ochlin, I'm not going to ignore the ochlin and use the one extra diak that I have to be marba than echolim. I'm sorry. Okay, fine. Now, this is pretty strong stuff. I mean, we got extra psukim over here. The Rabbanan who disagree fundamentally with Rebbe Eliezer, no, there's no such thing. I mean, what do they do with this pasuk? The Rabbanan are claiming there is no d'oraisa lav with a malchus associated with achila of taharoves chametz. So what do they do with the word kol? So Rabbanan to letlu eru, you'll have to say that they don't darshan kol, because they don't have the idea of kol machmetzah. But if they don't, then they don't darshan kol in the kikol ochel machmetzah either, which would mean that according to them, how do they know that women are included in the Isser and therefore in the mitzvah of achilas matzah? I mean, we never heard that there's a machlokas about whether there's a chiyav on women to eat or not. Gosh, says the Gemara, hold on, big difference. They do darshan ki kol. They don't darshan kol. So ki kol is actually adding a riboy, because it's saying, look, guys, I mean, I want you to understand, it's because anybody, so now you're saying that I'm supposed to understand a broader context for this thing. I mean, otherwise you're not saying anything. If you say kol ochel machmetzet, I understand that you're just giving me a rule. Anybody who eats, it doesn't mean I'm adding someone I wouldn't have thought of. It's just a way of speaking. But if you're trying to express it as some kind of reason, ki kol ochel machmetzet, so then I'm supposed to understand something that is more inclusive, which includes this, right? Okay, so now that they certainly do agree that that has to expand the envelope, and therefore they agree it expands the envelope in the direction of the women. And Rebbe Eliezer, why don't we do that as two different steps? Why don't we darshan kol to be marba nashim, but then we could darshan ki kol to be marba also the taroves, and now we've got actually both utilizations, because he does darshan kol. So if he darshans the kol, then he would also darshan separately the ki kol. And don't try to tell me, nah, Rebbe Eliezer doesn't hold a ki kol, he only holds of kol. Rebbe Eliezer isn't Dorish. It's not true, because we see that he absolutely is, because it says let's say it would only say in the pasuk, sar bal taktiro. You're not allowed to bring anything that is chametz on the mizbeach. So that would mean to bring a full measure of haktara, full measure of haktara in haktara pochus mikizayis. So you might think that that only is kulo. So it's only if the whole thing is chametz. So I got a kezayit and a little piece of it is chametz. How do I know that even bringing an act of haktara where only a bit of it is less than a kezayit, in other words, is chametz? Talmud lomar kol machmetz. How about if I mix the chametz throughout the entire mixture, so I don't have a piece of chametz? How do I know that that too would be included in kol machmetz? In kol se'or lo bal taktiru. Talmud lomar ki kol. Now, what are you going to tell me? This is not Reb Eliezer? Oh, really now? Who was the man d'omer that is Doresh Kol without Ki Kol? That you said the Rabbanan don't agree to. Okay, so now we're agreed that this has got to be Reb Eliezer. And nonetheless, we've got an extra drasha from the Ki Kol Okomach Metzet. So now we know both things. Whether you've got a small piece of non-mixed chametz, you're going to be chayev for the mizbeach, or whether you've got a kezayis, a mixture of chametz with other things, you're going to be also over on the lav of the mizbeach. So then you can't tell me that Reb Eliezer doesn't darish ki kol. Okay, so tell me what he does with the ki kol. Because, I mean, you got away with telling me that he needed the kol to tell me nushim, and therefore he doesn't have a kol to tell me chorus. But now he's got a key to tell me the chorus. So now I'm stuck with where we're telling me, says the Gemara, darn right you're stuck. So are we. Gosh, I don't know. That's a problem. But we're going to have to work out that problem. But meanwhile, what we do have is a machlokas, Reb Eliezer and the Rabbanan. And that's the question. General machlokas about whether there is any iser bichlal that obtains in cases where you don't have chometz gomer that is not mixed. Then we have a machlokas about the additional iser, whether the additional iser would apply to tarovez chametz and not to nuksha, or whether there's an iser because of sior that applies to chametz nuksha and kol shekein would apply to tarovez chametz, which is the way that Rav understood by learning that the Mishnah is going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. So we have a very enriched broadening of understanding of chametz today. And we've got a question that hangs still here. What indeed is the basis of the Reb Eliezer's assertion that there is no chiyav of kares on achilas machmetzet of the expanded machmetzet quality called kol machmetzet, which is even mixtures, not catalyzed foods?